process. I wanted to discuss some of the insights into the Haggadah that come forth from what we've studied already in Sefer Shoftim. Some of it is going to be repetition of things I've already said, but the main piece is going to be a new piece. So if we go back to the beginning of chapter 6, Perek Vav, so this is the beginning of the story of Gidon, and basically it begins, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael hara b'nei Hashem, b'nei Yisrael digging evil in the eyes of Hashem. And if you go on to Pasuk Beis, Vataz yad Midyan al Yisrael, and the hand of Midyan was strong against Israel, and they oppressed them, and the Sukkim go on to describe how they rooted the Jewish people, and anything that the Jewish people would plant, they would either steal or just destroy. They took their animals, etc. And it was a very difficult and challenging time for the Jewish people. And in Pasuk Zion, so by Yiki Zarku B'nai Yisrael El Hashem, Al Odos Midyan, and it was when B'nai Yisrael cried out to Hashem on what was going on with Midyan. By Yishlach Hashem Ish Navi al B'nai Yisrael, Hashem sent a Navi. This we said was Pinchas. And he warned the people. And then in Pasuk Yod Aleph, verse 11, it says, Vayavo Malach Hashem Vayeshev Tachas Ha'ila Asher B'Ofra. And the angel of Hashem came and sat under this tree in Ofra, Asher L'Yoash Avi Ha'ezri, belonging to Yoash, the son of Abiezer, the Gidon b'no Chovei Tzitzin Bagas, and his son Gidon was there, and he was threshing grain at the wine press. Talks about why he's doing it there. Lahanis Nisem Digi on the Pasuk says he was trying to hide what he was doing. And the angel appears to him. And if you look in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer Eilav Gidon, and Gidon said to him, Be Adoni, please my master, the Yesh Hashem Imanu, is Hashem with us? The Lama Mitzah Asnu Kozot, why has all of this befallen us? The Ayechoni for the Osov, and where are all his wonders? Asher Sipru Gano Avoseinu Lamar, that our forefathers told us about, saying, Haromim Mitzrayim Helanu Hashem, behold, from Egypt, Hashem took us out. The Ata now Nitashnu Hashem. He has abandoned us. Hashem has abandoned us. Vayitnenu b'chach Midyan, and he's handed us into the hand of Midyan. So in this pasuk already, Asher Sipru Gano Avoseinu Lamar, reminiscent of the pasuk, the command to tell over the Pesach story, the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, to tell over the story, Asher Sipru Gano, that they told us. And Lamar, right? Vigadta levincha bayomahu Lamar. And you should tell your son on that day, saying. So this...
I'm sorry, what's the significance of saying Lamar? What is the significance of that?
I think just in the context, it's like, it's sort of out of place even. Asher sipru lanu avoseinu Lamar, that they told us to say. Even in the pasuk, here he could have just said that they told us, right? Actually, what they told us. Lamar means to say it over. So, Vaidavar Hashem Moshe Lamar doesn't mean saying. It means to say. To say to the people. What's that?
A lot of scholars think that Lamar means quote.
Okay.
In which case, it's not.
That's right. Those who translate as saying. Right. That would be the same thing.
Well, no, I mean quote. Quote. I'm about to give you quoted words.
Uh-huh.
In
okay.
That case, it would not be superfluous.
Okay. So, fine. I think there's a remez here already. But even also in the word sipru, sipur yitzias mitzrayim, it's interesting because in the Torah, it doesn't command us, it doesn't say anywhere the word sipur. It says vigadta, and you should tell it. And the Mefarshim discussed, you know, how we get from Haggadah to sipur and what the relationship is, but here we have maybe a source for this idea of the term of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim here. Asher Sipru Lanu Avoseinu, that our forefathers told over time. Now, if you have Rashi, I think you both do. You look in Rashi here. So Rashi on the Dibur HaMatzal Asher Sipru Lanu Avoseinu, that our forefathers told to us, says Rashi, Pesach Haya. It was Pesach. Omar Lo, he said to the Malach, you don't say it. Omesh Hikani Abba Esahalel. Yesterday, last night, my father read Hallel to me. The Shamatir Shahaya Omer, and I heard him that he said, the Tseis Yisrael in Mitzrayim. In Hallel, he said, the Tseis Yisrael in Mitzrayim, when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and then it quotes our pasuk says, Gidon Ba'atun Atashno, and now he's abandoned us. And I don't understand. Im Tzadikim Hayu Avoseinu. If our forefathers were Tzadikim, Yasel Ano Bizuchusam, he should do it in their merit. Vim Rishayim Hayu. And if they were Rishayim, if they were evil, Kishem Sha'aslahem Nitla Osav Chinam, just like they didn't deserve it, and yet Hashem did wonders for them, so King Yaselanu, and so too he should do for us, the Ayekon Nitla Osav, and again quoting the pasuk, where are all his wondrous acts? Where is the salvation? Gidon declares. So here we have a reference already to Seder night, where Gidon says, last night, it was Pesach. Last night we read Hallel. So what can we derive from this interchange? So the Mefarshim are bothered with this Rashi. It's a very strange thing. If you wanted to say that, you know, my father taught me about how we were taking out of Mitzrayim, so I don't think what you would say is, we read Hallel last night, and it says the words, B'Tzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim. The whole mitzvah of the night of the Seder, I mean, there's other mitzvahs also, but is Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. You tell over the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's not, so they said Magid, you know, his father told him, even in the Pasuk it says that, your Sipur Lanu Avoseinu, that our fathers told us about, they told it over to us. Why does Gidon say, last night we read Hallel, and that's how I know the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim? He should say, that's how I think this is, you know, that what is Hashem doing to us? He should say, last night we had the Seder, and we did Magid, and my father told me the whole story, and that's how I know about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why does he focus on Hallel?
As opposed to Avodim Hayino the Paro with Mitzrayim.
And the rest of it.
Hello is the thanking to God, right? Of the bounty and all that, right?
But that's the only Pasuk in the Hallel that talks about Yitzias Mitzrayim.
That's what the court in the Mefarshim asked. So I'm going to offer two approaches. One of them we've already spoken out here, and one of them is a new answer. So Rav David Cohen, who is there are two famous Rav David Cohens, but one of them is the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chevron Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and he offers the following approach based on a comment of the Brisker Rav on the Haggadah. In the Haggadah we say, "V'chol dar v'dar chayav adam liros et atmo kilu hu yatzam in Mitzrayim." In every generation, a person is obligated to see himself as if he himself left Mitzrayim. Shenemar, and we quote Sukkim there. And then it says, "V'sikach anachnu chayavim lahodos v'hatmo." Therefore, we are obligated to give thanks. So the Brisker Rav wonders, what's the connection? What's the lefikach, the therefore? Because in every generation, we are obligated to see ourselves as if we have to shine, so therefore, we are obligated to thank. Why is that directly connected to this obligation that we have to actually see ourselves? Perhaps, you know, even just the mere fact that we had that, as we say, you know, if not for this, we would still be slaves, Avadim Hayinu, right? And if Hashem hadn't taken us out, we would still be slaves. That's also a reason to think, what's the Lefikach that because we're obligated to see ourselves now as if we were taking out, therefore we have to give hoda'ah. We have to give thanks. So he suggests, based on the shita, the opinion of the Gaonim, quoted by the Ran in Psachim, that there are two types of halal, two dinim, two laws, two specific types of halal. There's one halal which is said on the Yom Tovim, established, it's set every Rosh Chodesh in the morning, at Shacharis you say halal, every Yontif you say halal. That's one type of halal. There's another type of halal which is a halal that we sing when we have some kind of salvation. And there's a difference between the two. The difference is that the halal that you say for some form of salvation is only said on a salvation that you yourself experience. But you can't say halal on behalf of someone else or for someone else's salvation. Two halals, one we all say because it's just the halal of Yom Tov, it's a general hodah, general thanks to Hashem. But there's a specific halal that one is allowed to say upon a salvation, but only the person who experienced it can say that halal.
So when we do benching gomel, because you've made your long trip back from Israel, that doesn't come on the same level, right? It's
a different thing. That's a different thing, yeah.
So how can... So when you've had an experience that you were deemed to be that you should say halal, what would that kind of experience be?
I'm not sure. It would have to be probably pretty significant. I don't know the, practical applications of this halacha. I don't know if I know anyone who ever said halal upon a personal salvation.
Right now we're Yosei with the...
The general practice, you're right, is to bench gomel upon a salvation. But there is another type of halal, another way of giving thanks upon a great salvation, and that is halal. And that's specific, though, to the person who experienced it. He's the one who can say that halal. So says the Briskerov, the halal that we say in the Haggadah is this second type of halal. The halal of shira, of song, of thanks. It's not the... Your first one is the halal of kriya and the halal of shira. The halal of kriya, the reading of halal, that's the halal that we say on Yontif. But the halal of shira, of expression, of thanks, that upon a salvation, he says, that's the halal of the Leil Seder, of the night of the Seder, where it's coming out and thanking Hashem for our salvation. He says that's why it says that you're obligated to see yourself on Seder night as if you left Mitzrayim. If you didn't see yourself as if you left Mitzrayim, you wouldn't be able to say this halal of shira, of personal salvation. So therefore, that's why it says lasika. That's why it says, because we're obligated to see ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim, therefore each person is obligated to then say halal as a shira, to now come out and thank Hashem for the personal salvation. A little bit sounds to me now, the way I'm saying it now, a little bit circular almost, that the reason why you're obligated is in order to say the shira, the halal. That's why you have to see yourself as if you left Mitzrayim. And now that you see yourself as if you left Mitzrayim, now you're obligated to say the halal. So that's how we understand this lasika. Therefore, you're obligated to see yourself as if you left Mitzrayim. So it says, based on this, that was all from the Briskerov, based on this, Rav David Cohen wants to answer our question. Why is it that that Gidon specifically referenced halal when he said, last night my father read the halal to me, why has Hashem abandoned us now? So he explains that if not for this idea of last night we read the Hallel, what he's really saying when he says, last night we read the Hallel, he's saying, last night we said that we're chayav liros es atmo ki ilo yatsam in the time. We said Hallel, we thanked Hashem for the, that we ourselves experienced the salvation. And he said, are we experiencing the salvation right now? Achsam natasnu, he said, now we've been abandoned. In what way are we experiencing the salvation of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Right now we are oppressed. We're under the Midianite rule. If this is supposed to be something that carries through the generations and the whole Dar Vadar, in every generation we see ourselves as if we up Mitzrayim, well then where is the freedom? Where is this salvation? That's what he meant. Last night we read the Hallel. Last night we acknowledged, we gave thanks that we acknowledged that we see ourselves in every generation as if we left Mitzrayim. Ayin it l'osav, where are Hashem's wondrous at? Ramon itasnu, why has He abandoned us?
And the answer is?
That's what happened. They ended up being saved.
I'm not sure I understand the answer either.
Wait, what's the answer to...
Why
he don't question the Malach?
No, the odd Rashi. Why is Rashi inferring that last night they read Hallel at a Seder?
Oh, we do read Hallel at a Seder.
No.
Why is Rashi
in relation to
the question. The question
is...
Right. Rashi could have said.
Is your question where did Rashi get
the Torah,
it from?
He studied the Torah from a, and he knew, or his father told him, but sometimes it didn't have to be last night. It didn't have to be at a Seder. It didn't have to be through Hallel. He just knew.
Okay, you're asking a different question than I was asking.
No. Here's the thing. I think I understand what Arthur's saying. Here, Gideon is being talked to by a malach, right? Regarding the situation with them in Midian, right? They're under siege and all that stuff. And you're telling us the story about Hallel that we say
at the Seder.
At the Seder, I don't see quite the connection between the two.
Okay.
Well, to sharpen my point, Rashi could have ascribed Gideon's knowledge of the coming out from Egypt and being saved, and he went a number of things. He read the Torah, he heard it in Shul, his father told him. Why did he ascribe it to last night there was a Seder and they did Hallel? That question still hasn't been answered.
Okay, so that's another question. That's a different question.
But that's a question that we'll go back.
We'll go back and just take a step back, okay? The Medrash, this idea that Rashi's bringing is mostly in the Medrash. But the Medrash learns out from a number of different events here that all of this was going on Pesach time. From the Karban that Gideon brought, the Omer, remember we spoke at length about the Karban Omer, which was brought on Pesach. So the Medrash references in a few different places that these events happened on Pesach.
Okay.
I didn't bring the Medrash with me.
All of this is occurring then during
Pesach.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't bring I forgot to bring the Medrash along with me to see how much of Rashi is in the Medrash and how much isn't. But my specific question is that you don't want to say, last night we just had Pesach and we talked about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So where is that? What happened to that? Why has Hashem abandoned us after He did all these wondrous miracles for our forefathers? Where is Hashem now? That's what Gideon meant to say.
And the interesting thing is...
One second. So the question, therefore, is, if you're going to say that, if you wake up the morning after Pesach and you want to say, wow, I really appreciate what, the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and I understand it now, and it's meaningful to me, so would you reference the Hallel that you read, and you happen to say a few words in Hallel that said "B'tzeis Yisrael in Mitzrayim when B'nei Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim," when the rest of Hallel doesn't specifically, maybe here and there it does, I don't remember offhand, but reference Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it's not about Yetzias Mitzrayim necessarily. Or the mitzvah of the Lilo, the night, the whale, the mitzvah of Leil Seder is to tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I would have said, if I was Gidon, if I was Rashi, you know, explaining, you know, last night we read Haggadah, and we had Magid, and we did the mitzvah of Kippur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we talked about Hashem Tzoka Sarim Mitzrayim. Where is that now? Where, what happened to that? How is it, you know, why has Hashem now abandoned us? Why don't we have their merit? Or if they didn't deserve it, why doesn't he do it for us? Why does he specifically mention Hallel? And the answer that the David Cohen is giving is that by mentioning Hallel, what he's really intimating is that we were chayav liros. If we said Hallel last night, that means not just that we said the story last night, but that we were chayav liros esatmeinu. We were obligated to see ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim. That's why we were saying Hallel of Shira. That's why that type of Hallel that we said last night can only be said if we ourselves experience the salvation. So if we are reliving this, if we relive the salvation last night, and we're obligating every generation, we were supposed to see ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim, as if we are free people now, well, Lama Natashna, why has Hashem abandoned us? Aye Nitra Osav, where are his wondrous acts?
And I was going to say that you talk to these Holocaust survivors. I know a couple that live here. And that's their question. Why did God abandon us during that time? Because that's also... So they have that question too. Some people have been able to reconcile, other people no.
It's a very hard question.
Yeah.
Very hard question. But we see in the story of Gidon that it all turns around and Hashem does bring about a wondrous salvation. That's one approach to this answer. Second approach is going to give us a new understanding of the concept, I think, of Magid in the Seder. And I'm going to use this more as a springboard into that discussion. The basic answer, the second basic answer to the question, this is from Rav Matisyahu Solomon, the Mashkiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva, is that, he quotes this from a Rav Shaul Cohen, that the main roshan, impact, influence on the children should be experienced, the main impact of the night of the Seder, of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, should be experienced at the time of Hallel. Based on the father's emotion and energy and passion of giving thanks, of saying Hallel, that's how a person appreciates most. That's how a child should be appreciating, should be taught to appreciate truly the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what Gidon was saying was that I witnessed my father give this tremendous thanks for Yetzias Mitzrayim, for Hashem taking us out of Egypt. And that gave me a great appreciation of what the story is and what it means, and really made me understand inculcate and process that these teachings, and based on that, I have these questions, and, you know, I call it philosophy. So he wasn't, in this answer, we're really saying it was coming from the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, but the Hallel is what has the potential to really drum it home for the child of how significant this miracle or this experience truly was. So just to give this idea some background and maybe help us appreciate the mitzvah of Kippur Yetzias Mitzrayim in a different light, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, when he talks about this mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, so the Rambam says, this is mitzvah Kufnun Zayin, 157, Tisha Tzivonu L'Saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is the mitzvah to tell over Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, quotes a pasuk, and then he says, V'chol Misha Yosef B'Mamar, and the more a person adds on, the Yarech the Dvarim and is lengthy, speaking more the Hagadah Masa Asa Lanu Hashem, in telling over what Hashem said, Umasa Asa Lanu Amitrim, may all the Hamas and what the Mitzrim did to us violently, the Ichlokach Hashem Nikam Tainu Mehem, and how Hashem took revenge on our behalf from them, Uvehodos Lo Yisaleh, and to give thanks to him. Al Kol Tov Shigemolanu, for all the good that he did to us. The more a person does that, says the Rambam, Yiyeh Yoser Tov, he will be better. Kimosha Amru, as they say, Chazal, the Chohamarech Lesaper of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the more a person speaks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Harezeh Meshuba, usually translated as the better. The more you speak about it, the more praiseworthy, the better. So the Elio Lapian, though, explains that Harezeh Meshuvah can also be understood to mean Harezeh Meshuvah, as in this person will be Meshuvah, will be improved. The more a person speaks about it, Harezeh Meshuvah, the more the person is improved. And the truth is, right, that's similar to what we talk about, Yayin Meshuvah, like better wine. So that's really Meduyah. It's inferred really in this Rambam. The Rambam says, if you, the more you do this, Yiyeh Yoser Tov, he will be better. And then he quotes, as Chazal say, the more you speak about it, Harezeh Meshuvah, that this person will be better. You'll become a improved person. Now, it's fascinating that the Rambam, in defining what this is Sefer HaMitzvot, it's his list of what the 613 mitzvot are, and he's giving a definition for each mitzvah. And within the definition of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the telling over of the story of the Exodus, he includes Ulehodos Lo Yisaleh, and to give thanks to him, as if giving thanks is a part of the mitzvah of Sefer of telling over the story. So that's something we have to understand. How is that would seem separate to us, to me, right? I would have thought that there's a mitzvah to tell over the story, and then there's a separate mitzvah always to give thanks and to appreciate. But what's the shot? How do we understand that the giving thanks actually has, the Rambam is saying, is actually a part of the telling over of the story of the Exodus, of the mitzvah of Sefer, of telling over the story? The Chovos HaLevavot in Shar Avodos HaElokim, by the way, this is all, this whole piece is from Ramat Yisrael Solomon. The Chovos HaLevavot in the section about service of Hashem, so he says that I've already explained the obligation, he says, to understand Hashem's oneness and believe in that with a full heart. And I've spoken about, he says, he speaks at length about appreciating all of the things that Hashem does for us and the amazing world that Hashem has created for us and how it's, you know, picture perfect for our needs. He says, we have to mention after that, that which a person is obligated now to, the way a person is obligated to conduct himself, when all this is now clear to him, Hashem's oneness and all the things that Hashem does for us, and that is the acceptance of service to serve Hashem, as much as logic should obligate a person, the native to do to someone who does good to you, al misha shehetivlo. Sorry, to make it to one who received good, al misha shehetivlo, for one who did good to you. That if you really, truly, we talked about this last week a little bit actually, we mentioned at the end the idea that akaras hatov, recognizing the good someone does for you, carries with it an obligation to return it, the favor in some way. That's why people want to deny it, we mentioned, right? That's why people, they don't want to owe someone, so they'll just deny that the person did anything for them in the first place. But truthfully, if you recognize all the good that a person does for you, then you really should feel that you owe them something. And the same is true for serving Hashem. That the understanding what Hashem is, how great Hashem is, and how minuscule and unimportant we are, and yet still Hashem does so much good for us, that just blows it out of proportions how much we are now obligated to serve Him in return.
But if it wasn't for us, then we shouldn't be doing that. See, we are the ones who are thanking Hashem for everything He's done for us.
Right, so that's what...
So without us, I mean, that was kind of like the argument that, if you will, Moshe made with Hashem at the time, because Hashem says, I'll destroy them and start all over again with another group of people. You'd still be the leader. And Moshe says to Hashem at that point in time, says, how is that going to look to the rest of the world that the people that you chose to be the special people to have that relationship with you are gone?
Okay, it's something along those lines. But
yeah.
But here the idea is that the more a person, the more that we recognize that Hashem does for us, the more we should feel obligated to serve Him in return. And then he points out, later in the Chovos HaLevavos, he mentions, and specifically us, Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, that Hashem took us out from Egypt, and we had that amazing salvation, so that should... Oh yeah, here it is. He says, "Tovos habari al am ning al amim." On a specific nation, the umam ning umos. On one specific nation, he did extra good. Moshe hated Bnei Yisrael as he did to Bnei Yisrael. So tiam eretz Mitzrayim, veviam el eretz Kanaan, bechayvam bezeh avoda yaseir. This obligates Bnei Yisrael in an even greater service to Hashem because of all the good that Hashem has done for us. So what we see, this idea is that it's very good, very important to develop a strong emunah in Hashem, a strong belief in Hashem, strong relationship with Hashem. But that emunah won't obligate us on its own. We won't feel obligated on its own to serve Hashem just because we believe that Hashem exists. What's necessary to really feel that obligation to serve Him is a hakara sato, a recognition that not just that Hashem exists, but also to recognize all that Hashem has done for us and all that He does do for us on a constant basis. And the more that we recognize that, the more we will then come to recognize our obligation to serve Him. We say in the Haggadah, Mitzila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, the Achshav Kervanu Hamakom LaAvodaso. At first, our forefathers were of the Avodah Zarah, and now Hashem has brought us to his service.
Now, the question
his
is,
service. Sorry, let me try to get through this, and then I'll take questions again. Thank you. Another Brisker Vart brought in the Haggadah of the Beis Halevi on this idea is that we know there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as to how do you start the Haggadah, really. The Mishnah says Masel Beginus and Messiah B'Shvach. You start with the what started off bad and then you end with the good. And one opinion says to start with the bad is to start with Misila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, that we used to be idol worshippers. And another opinion is that you start from Avadim Hayinu. And we actually start from Avadim Hayinu. We say both, though. We say both in the Haggadah. For another time is why what each opinion is trying to get across. But both agree that the Shvach at the end That's the machlokas. That's the theory, is that what's the bad part that we begin with? So everybody agrees that the good part at the end is this line of Achsav Kirvanu HaMakom LaAvodato. Now Hashem has brought us into His service. The pasuk in numerous places, really. The pasuk in Sefer VaYikra says, I didn't write down what parsha this is. It might be Emor. I'm not sure. But the pasuk describes Ki avodai hein, because they are my servants. Asher otesi osam yaretz Mitzrayim, lo yimkru mem karas aved. They shouldn't sell themselves into slavery. Avodai hein, Hashem says, they're my servants. There also it says, ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, because b'nei Yisrael are avodim to me, Hashem says. They're servants to me. Avodai hein, they're my servants. Asher otesi osam yaretz Mitzrayim, like I took out from Egypt. Ani Hashem elokeichem, that. And I am Hashem, your God. Like in Yitzias Mitzrayim, we accepted upon ourselves, or we reached a new level that we left being servants of Paro, but we then became, we entered the service of Hashem. And that's why you can't make yourself, it's not good to make yourself a servant to someone else. You shouldn't sell yourself as a slave. This was the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's another pasuk. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, saying in Shema, Asher Otzeisi Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim, Lios Lachem Leilukim, that I should be a God for you, that I should rule you. That's why, by the way, he says, we mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in Kriya Shema. Even though there's a mitzvah on its own to say Kriya Shema, but we also fulfill the mitzvah of mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim in Kriya Shema, because that's what it is, the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, Kriya Shema, the Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shamayim. So that is done in tandem with mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim, mentioning the Exodus, because that's what it was all about, that weaving Mitzrayim to now become servants of Hashem to accept the yoke of heaven upon us. So it's very relevant to Kriya Shema. So, what he's describing is that, being that the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was to now become servants of Hashem, so that will only, says Ramati, show how much are we going to be servants to Hashem? So it's how much are we going to indenture ourselves to Hashem? It's going to be dependent on our understanding of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of what Hashem did for us. We go from, it's not simply like Hashem took us from being slaves, so he's like, okay, you used to be his slave, now you're my slave. It's Hashem freed us, Hashem did all the tovos, the good for us. It's that very hakaras hatov of what Hashem did for us to bring us out of Mitzrayim, that is going to be mechayev us, that's going to now obligate us to become His servant, to become in service of Hashem, and the greater, relative to the greater degree that we recognize that good, we will then parallel to that will be the level of acceptance of Hashem, of serving Hashem that we accept on ourselves. The more we recognize the good Hashem did by taking us out, the more we become servants to Him upon leaving Mitzrayim. Another interesting application of this idea is famous Rashi by the first three matos. Right? We know Hashem tells Moshe Hashem doesn't tell Moshe. Moshe does all the last seven makos, but he doesn't bring the first three makos. Aaron does. Why? Because they involve hitting the Nile River or hitting the dirt, the earth. So Rashi brings down the Medrash that Moshe couldn't bring the first three makos because of the Akara Satov that he had for the water, for protecting him when he was a baby in the Yamsuf, and the dirt that protected him when he buried the mystery that he killed.
Yeah.
So I think the pasuk says it was the Yamsuf. Wherever it was, the sea.
Yeah, was there something
on the Nile? Maybe. Okay, could be. Yeah,
must have
been the Nile.
He was drawn from
the
water, and that was the main thing, right?
I may be getting confused. Yeah. So
Moshe was drawn from the water, and that's why he couldn't.
Right. That's why he was Yagakaras Atov to the water. Now, surely, you know, Hashem could have figured out if it, we see from the last seven Makos that Moshe was the ideal person to bring the Makos, right? So why couldn't he bring the first three? Because the only way to do it was to hit the water or hit the ground. Couldn't Hashem have come up with a different way to initiate the first three Makos? Why did he have to do it in such a way that Moshe couldn't do it? And we can now learn the lesson of Hakaras HaTov from Moshe Rabbeinu if Moshe Rabbeinu had that Hakaras HaTov for the water and for the earth, so surely, you know, they don't even recognize it, so surely we should have that kind of Hakaras HaTov to our fellow men. But why was that lesson necessary to teach at that particular moment? Why couldn't it be taught somewhere else and have Moshe bring the Makos in a different way, and since he's the ideal person, clearly, to bring the Makos? So he explains, he offers, because of this idea that the Makos were meant to teach the people Emunah and Hashem. That was the purpose. Each Mako, or each series of Makos, brought about a new level of Emunah. The Rishonim talk about this, the Ramban. And so that's the ideal situation also to teach about Hakaras HaTov, because as we've said, Emunah on its own doesn't bring a person to service. You also have to have a Hakaras HaTov. Those two things combined are what bring you to service of Hashem. So it's an ideal place when you're going to teach Emunah, bring the Makos, teach the people create a strong belief in Hashem, at the same time, create for them a lesson that also that Hakaras HaTov of recognizing the good that Hashem does for you, and right, the Moshe recognized the good that these inanimate objects had done for him. We have to recognize the good that Hashem does for us, and that's going to bring us to Emunah, to Hakaras HaTov, and bring us to Avoda, to serve Hashem. So therefore, coming back to Leil Seder, when we talk about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling over the story of Mitzrayim, it's not just the story, it's not just an exercising Emunah, because that wouldn't be good enough. Although that's often how we think of it, is where we are passing on the tradition, and the so important tradition of Emunah, which the basis of our Emunah is in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why we talk about it all the time. It's one of the most foundational points of Yiddishkeit is Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Emunah on its own isn't enough. There also has to be a Hakaras HaTov for what Hashem does. That's, again, the purpose of that Emunah, and the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the purpose of our recounting it, is to bring us to service of Hashem. But that can only happen if the Hakaras HaTov, the recognition of all that Hashem does for us, is also there. Because ultimately, that's what really is mechayev us. That's what obligates us to serve Hashem. So therefore, that's why the hodos, the Rambam counts it as part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Hallel that we say, thanking Hashem, is an essential part of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not enough just to talk about it. You have to also appreciate it. You have to experience it. And the greater passion that you do experience it, or that you the greater passion that you have in that Hakaras HaTov, so then the greater avoda, the greater service of Hashem, that will bring about as a result. So therefore, when we come to Hallel at Leil Seder, it's not just, you know, thanking Hashem, just reading through, it has to be with a passion, it has to be, because that's what's going to determine what our avoda that comes out of it is. And that's the idea of Yiyye Yosher Tov, the Rambam says. The more you do it, and the more you talk about it, and the more you give thanks, Yiyye Yosher Tov, you'll be a better person, you'll be a better servant of Hashem, and you will Harezem Eshuva. This person will be improved. It will bring about you'll be a new person in your service of Hashem if you properly feel that Hakaras HaTov and and give hodah and give thanks to Hashem.
Feel more dutiful.
Exactly. And so just coming back, just to wrap it up, back to Gidon. So that's what he suggests, is why Gidon focused on, you know, last night we read the Hallel, and therefore why is this all this happening to us? Because he saw the passion that his father had at the time of Hallel, and that helped him really appreciate the story, really appreciate Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, what it meant, and the truth of it, and that's why he specifically mentioned Hallel, is because that's what really drove home the story for Gidon.
And I think I said something wrong before. I think I said